and Savior. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, today I'm starting my 18-part sermon series on the book of Acts entitled Facts in Acts. Now, this sermon series will take us on a journey through the book of Acts, or as I like to call it, Luke Volume 2. You see, the same Luke who wrote the Gospel of Luke also wrote the book of Acts. With that said, the title of today's sermon is, He Ascended into Heaven. A few minutes ago, we spoke together the Apostles' Creed, and you probably noticed that the second part of the Creed is about Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And at the end of the second part of the Creed, we say, He ascended into heaven. Today, we're going to learn about the meaning of Jesus' ascension for us as we examine our reading from Acts chapter 1. However, before we dive into our text for today, I want to help you understand what the disciples were going through as they witnessed Jesus' ascension. In fact, you may have the same thoughts and emotions as you consider the fact of Jesus' ascension. I mean, let's face it. At first, the fact of Jesus' ascension seems to be a depressing reality. Why is that? Well, the ascension seems to be saying, someone we love has left us. To help you understand, let me ask you this question. How many here have heard the Irish folk song, Danny Boy? Okay, quite a few of you. If you're familiar with the lyrics of that song, it's about the heartache of an Irish mother as she watches her son get on a ship and sail away to America for a new life. Her heart absolutely breaks as she watches him get on that ship and sail away because she knows she will never see him again. In fact, we experience an even worse heartache at funerals, don't we? People we love have died. We want to be able to see them and touch them and hear them and speak to them, but we can't. Not anymore. So imagine how the disciples must have felt when they saw Jesus ascend to heaven out of their sight. They loved him so much. In fact, their hearts broke when they watched him die on the cross. But then, recall, 3 days later, their hearts exploded with joy when they saw him alive. And when they saw the resurrected Jesus, they thought, He's with us again. We can see him. We can hear him. We can touch him. He's going to comfort us now. He'll protect us from all evil. But now, their hearts are breaking again as they watch Jesus ascend and leave them alone. Do you feel that way sometimes? Do you feel alone? Maybe people you love have moved away. You don't see them as often as you'd like, and there's an empty place in your heart. Oh, sure, you can speak with them on the telephone, but it's just not the same as being with them in person. Worse yet, maybe someone you love dearly has died. Not only are you unable to see or touch that person, you can't hear that person's voice either. And you know what? Sometimes we wonder if God has left us. We can't see him. We can't touch him. Oh, we can pray to him, but we can't hear him speak back to us. When we go through times of pain and hardship and loss, we begin to wonder if God has left us all alone. And on top of all that, there's that line at the end of the second part of the Creed. He ascended into heaven. The ascension seems to be saying, Jesus has left us. Why did he do that? My friends, I know how you feel because I experience the same pain that you do. But I'm here today to give you good news. You You see, far from being a depressing event, the fact of Jesus' ascension is meant to give us great comfort and certain hope. With that said, let's examine our reading from Acts chapter 1, if you look in your bulletin with me. Now, you might notice that in the first verse, Luke mentions this guy named Theophilus. In fact, Luke also mentions Theophilus at the beginning of the Gospel of Luke, Luke volume 1. Theophilus is a Greek name, and it means one who loves God. Now, scholars debate whether Theophilus was an actual person or whether Theophilus was Luke's way of talking about every Christian who would be reading his two books. In either case, the Holy Spirit wants you to know the details about the person and work of Jesus, whose life and ministry are recorded in these two books written by Luke. Now, Luke tells us that after Jesus suffered and died, he then appeared to his apostles and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. In fact, Luke says that Jesus appeared to them over a period of 40 days. Did you hear that? Jesus hung around with his disciples for 40 days after his resurrection. Now, my friends, this fact is very important for us to know because it helps explain what some people think is a contradiction in Holy Scripture. For example, at the end of Luke chapter 24, we read these words. Jesus told them, "I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Now, when you read the beginning of Luke chapter 24, it is clear that Jesus appeared to his disciples in Jerusalem on the same day that he rose from the dead. So, when people quickly read these words I just read for you from the end of Luke's Gospel, it at first seems as though Luke is saying that Jesus spoke those words and ascended to heaven on the same day that he rose from the dead and appeared to his disciples in Jerusalem. Now, if that series of events is actually true, then we do have a problem. You see, at the end of Matthew's Gospel, we're told that the resurrected Jesus appeared to his disciples on a mountain in Galilee, several miles north of Jerusalem. And then if you read John chapter 20, we're told that the resurrected Jesus appeared to his disciples in Jerusalem on two different occasions, and that there was a period of 1 week between those two appearances. And then in John chapter 21, we're told that Jesus appeared to his disciples again in Galilee. Now, there are some who assume that this information contradicts what Luke says at the end of Luke chapter 24, because some wrongly conclude that Luke is there teaching us that on the same day of his resurrection, Jesus appeared to his disciples only once in Jerusalem, and then on the same day, he ascended to heaven. But my friends, there is no contradiction. This is a really good example of how you have to read your Bible carefully and allow the Bible to interpret itself rather than pulling verses out of context. You see, in Acts chapter 1, verse 3, Luke himself says that Jesus appeared to his disciples at various times over a period of 40 days. Luke simply didn't give us this information at the end of chapter 24 of his first book, but here in chapter 1 of his second book, he clearly says that there was a period of 40 days between his resurrection and his ascension to heaven. So my friends, there is no contradiction whatsoever between what the four Gospels say about Jesus' resurrection appearances to his disciples. In fact, listen to what the apostle says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 about Jesus' resurrection appearances. Paul says, "Christ appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time. Most of them are still living. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, Paul says. There you have it. Just as Luke says in Acts chapter 1, Jesus appeared to his disciples at various times over a period of 40 days after his resurrection. Now we're ready to hear verses 4 and 5 of our reading from Acts chapter 1. Follow along with me. On one occasion, while Jesus was still eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So, what do these words of Jesus mean? Well, close to the end of Jesus' 40 days on earth, he tells his disciples to remain in Jerusalem so they can receive the gift his Father promised. And then Jesus says that just as John the Baptist poured water on people, Jesus and the Father would pour out the Holy Spirit on the disciples. Simply put, Jesus is talking about a special and unique giving of the Holy Spirit that would occur on the day of Pentecost, a Jewish festival that took place 50 days after the Passover. In fact, you can read about this event in Acts chapter 2. Now, I'm not going to say very much about Pentecost at this point, because I'm going to preach on that subject next Sunday when we go through Acts chapter 2. However, for now, I will say that this special pouring out of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost was for the purpose of giving Jesus' disciples the gifts that they needed to have in order to begin the mission of bringing the good news about Jesus to people everywhere, starting with the Jews in Jerusalem. As Jesus said at the end of Luke chapter 24, this is what is written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now we're ready to hear Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8 again. Follow along with me. So when they met together, they asked Jesus, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Did you notice the question that the disciples asked Jesus? Are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? What was going on in their heads? Well, first, they did not expect Jesus to ascend to heaven. Remember, they saw him leave them when he died on the cross, and his body was placed in a tomb. But then, just as he said, Jesus came back to them when he rose from the dead. So now, they assume that Jesus is back to stay. You see, they think that now it's the end of the age. They expect Jesus to usher in the day of judgment. They expect Jesus to destroy all evil forever and bring God's people into the new creation where they will live forever in God's love. If I were there, I would have been thinking the same thing. But that was not Jesus' plan. Instead, Jesus teaches them and us that the end of the age will be at some undetermined time in the future. And until that time comes, Jesus sends us out to be his witnesses, to preach repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name so that more and more people can be saved from eternal damnation and have the hope of eternal life in God's love. Just think how this applies to us today. My friends, we are here today because of Jesus' plan back then. Just Think about it. Here we are 2,000 years later, living across the ocean on a completely different continent, speaking a completely different language, and we have been saved from sin and damnation because Jesus said to his disciples, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." You know what that means? These facts in Acts are not meaningless bits of historical information that have nothing to do with our lives today. No, far from it. These facts in Acts are your history of salvation. These facts in Acts are meant to teach us about the mission that God has given us today. The Holy Spirit moved Luke to write these words for you believers who love God. That said, listen carefully to verses 9 through 11. After Jesus said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Again, imagine how the disciples must have felt when they watched Jesus ascend out of their sight. I bet their hearts sunk and they felt a huge empty place in the pit of their stomachs. "He left us," they were thinking. And sometimes we feel the same way, don't we? We look up into the sky and we cry out, "Jesus, where are you? I feel so alone. Why did you leave us?" My friends, Jesus hasn't left us. In fact, Jesus' ascension is meant to be good news. How can that be, you ask? First, when the resurrected Jesus met with his disciples in the mountain in Galilee, recorded at the end of Matthew's gospel, he gave them this promise: "I will be with you always until the very end of the age." You see, Jesus didn't leave us when he ascended into heaven. In fact, Jesus' ascension means that he is closer to us than he ever was when he walked this earth. How can that be? Well, listen to what the Apostle Paul writes about this in Ephesians chapter 4. He says, "Christ is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe." Did you hear that? Jesus' ascension means that his body is no longer confined to one place. Jesus' ascension means that he now fills the whole universe. In the Creed, we say that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. Now, this does not mean that Jesus' body is hidden away in some distant part of the universe. No, to be at the right hand of the Father means that Jesus reigns over all creation along with his Father, and just as the Father exists everywhere, the ascended Jesus exists everywhere. Now, we may not be able to see Jesus or touch him or hear him as the disciples did, but he is with us nevertheless, as he promised. In fact, if you read 1 Peter, a letter written to newly converted Christians who had just been baptized, listen to what he says to them about Jesus. He says, "Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls." In other words, Peter is saying to those believers and to you, even though you cannot see, hear, and touch Jesus like the apostles did when he walked this earth, nevertheless, he is with you. So how is the ascended Jesus with us today? The ascended Jesus, first of all, comes to you and adopts you as his own in the waters of holy baptism. In addition, the ascended Jesus speaks to you and he teaches you as you hear and read and study Holy Scripture. That's right, the ascended Jesus speaks to us and teaches us as we read his word. Remember what we heard in the Gospel of Luke? Jesus was walking with the disciples and he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. That's why coming to church and Bible class on a regular basis is so important. That's how Jesus speaks to you today. In addition, the ascended Jesus also gives us his body and blood to eat and drink whenever we receive the Lord's Supper. He is physically with us through this miracle. In fact, remember in our reading from Luke 24, he was kept from being recognized by those two disciples until he gave them the Lord's Supper. Now, why did he do that? I think he was preparing them for the fact that he wanted them to believe that he was with them, not because they could see him and touch him in the ordinary way, but he wanted them to be prepared to know that he was with them when we would hear the words, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Take, drink, this is my blood shed for you." And so he is with us, just as he promised. One more thing we must remember. In the Creed we say, "He sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead." Remember what the angel said to the disciples? Their words are for you today as well. They said, "This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." You see, one day Jesus will return visibly in power and glory, and then we will be able to see him with our eyes and touch him and hear his voice. We don't know when that day will be, but that day will come, just as Jesus promised. But until that day, we live by faith in God's word, trusting in Jesus, knowing that he's with us, even though we cannot see him now. But one day, we will live by faith and by sight, because we will see Jesus with our own eyes. Until that day, the ascension of Jesus is good news. Jesus' ascension means that he fills the whole universe and he reigns over all creation for you. You are not alone. Jesus is with you always, just as he promised, and one day you will see him face to face. So then, don't stand around looking up into the sky, wondering why Jesus left you. Instead, remember that Jesus died for you and conquered death for you. Your sins are forgiven, and you have the hope of the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Therefore, God wants you to get on with the life that he has given you, doing all that you do every day to his glory and in loving service to others. And as you go about your various vocations in your daily lives, remember that Jesus is with you always and that you get to be his witnesses in the world where many people still need to hear the good news of repentance and forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our ascended Lord and Savior. Amen.